Hey, Jeff.
Hey, Eric. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm good.
This is mostly the quiet season for a lot of people, but we are kept busy. Today, in fact, we were running around just like madmen all around New York City, and the best thing was to come home and see in our lobby a package waiting for us from Plated.
Well, a lot of people don't know what Plated is.
Well, Plated is a website that we went to order food for meals that we could make at home. And not only did they send the proper ingredients for said meals, but they also sent the exact amount of each ingredient.
Right, and they also come with recipes that are super intuitive. They're very easy to follow. It's only 6 steps.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it was kept refrigerated in our lobby in the box.
So we could have come home at any point before midnight, and it still would have been good.
Yes.
So we got a whole bunch of things that stayed fresh. Like,
we got pumpkin baked ziti with sage.
Sounds delicious.
We got acorn squash with apple sausage stuffing.
Sounds delicious.
And we got pollock and papillote with buttery carrots and peas, which is perfect for me because I love a fish in papillote.
Sounds delicious and fancy.
Yeah.
So the real question is, what are we going to get into tonight?
That fish.
We're going to do that fish tonight. All right, awesome. The rest we can put in the refrigerator and we're good to go for the next couple days. So all of our loyal listeners, here's what you have to do if you want to prepare chef quality meals in under 30 minutes or less. Go to plated.com/time right now, because not only are you going to get a great meal delivered to your home, not only are you going to not have to deal with running to the grocery store or any leftover materials, but with your first purchase, you get a free dinner for two.
A free dinner for two?
Yup, a free dinner for two at plated.com/time. Plated.com/time.
Plated.com/time.
Yo, what up? It's Eric, a.k.a. the San Andreas Fault, a.k.a. Moving Crack.
Yo, what up? It's Jeff, a.k.a. 8th grade health class, a.k.a. Stick Talk.
Hey, it's Matt, Jeff and Eric's friend, a.k.a. Brisket Fasto, a.k.a. nothing goes down in my DMs.
Yeah, I'm really popping. Yeah, you gotta change this. What kind of the ship? The leader.
Yeah, and this is a waste of time with this, the real.
Locka.
Yo, the South really is in the house, guys, because we got Memphis and Miami here. Matt Fastow, our friend who knows more than anybody besides, I think, Anees Ansari about Southern rap. Thank you for co-hosting with us today.
Please, I appreciate it. To be here with Gotti, that's an honor.
Yo, and Gotti, thanks for coming through.
Anytime. We're in the kitchen. It's one of my favorite spots.
Yeah, well, so you were saying you cannot cook.
Nah, but the kitchen's still my favorite spot, though.
He's a culinary, you know, genius in other ways.
Other ways, other things.
One of my favorite Gotti things is when you did Summer Jam for Hot 97 a couple years ago, Peter Rosenberg and Cypher Sounds had their interview in like the hallways down there.
Yeah.
Peter Rosenberg was like, "Yo, Gotti, you look like $1 million." And the first thing you go, "Oh, is that it?"
Yeah.
We saw you, was it 2 years ago at BB King's?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And we came in and I think you were playing Check or Got That Sack, and the whole place was just live. Yeah. And that night you brought out Ujeezy, Quan,
Snooty Wild.
We didn't know him that. But people still knew Yayo.
Yeah.
There were a good amount of people. That's 2 years ago.
Yeah, that Yayo record that actually showed up at BB King's was one of the things that helped me close out the deal with Snooty Wild and with Epic and all that. You know what I mean? Because sometimes seeing is believing. You know, I had already really told him about the record. But you know what I mean? When you see it, you believe it.
Once they saw the hair, they were like, oh, shit.
Yeah, they're like, oh, when are we doing the deal?
Yeah.
Could have done it a month ago. You know what I'm saying? Gonna cost a little more than that.
Yeah. And by the way, like, you packed out a New York room.
Yeah, that was dope, man.
And killed it.
Yeah, that was big for me being from the South because, you know, in the beginning stages of my career, you know, New York didn't play a lot of Southern music. You didn't get a lot of support out here. In New York, in the South. So anytime you come to New York, still to today, anytime when I pulled in New York 24 hours ago, I heard DM in two cars. You know, I'm still like, yo, making sure that ain't narcotic playing. And I looked at the car, see a Mercedes-Benz playing DM. And like 30 minutes later, I see another car playing DM. It's still big for me to see New York react to South music.
Are there certain DJs that really helped you out here? You know, compare. I mean, obviously in the South, they'll play you everywhere. Clubs, barbecue spots, on the radio down there.
Yeah, I think it's a lot of DJs. DJ Self.
Mm-hmm.
DJ Self always hold us down. Yep. You know what I mean? Carmelo. Mm-hmm. Clue.
Okay.
It's a lot of Sus One. It's a lot of DJs who who enough uh-huh. who really support what we're doing.
What was your first job?
Hustling. Well, real job.
Yeah, yeah, first
that's a real job.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
it may not be any tax papers for it.
Career hustling. My first job was what was my first job? Maybe selling newspapers or something.
I read that.
Selling Sunday's paper. I did it like one Sunday. Then the next Sunday, I ran off with the money.
What would that even entail, selling a newspaper back then? Like on your bike? Or you're like on the corner?
No, it was like you post up on the corner.
And extra?
I think
did you grow up in the 1920s?
No. I think you got like 25 cents or 50 cents off each paper.
You do?
Yeah.
Okay.
And
so how'd you finesse that?
I calculated that up quick and realized there wasn't enough money for me. So the next Sunday, I took all the money. My money, the paper money, everything. I'm out of here.
People never got that news.
Yeah, and they never got that money.
And now you end up in the papers that you used to sell for good reasons.
Yeah, and bad.
not much bad lately. Yeah,
not lately.
No, and no one's giving you a bad review.
Not lately.
Did they ever cover your restaurant in the newspaper?
I think so, maybe. I don't even remember.
Do you ever look at your reviews on like Yelp for Privé and be like, all right, I mean, we got to step up somewhere?
No, I really don't like keep up with a lot of comments. I believe it, like, you know, comments and stuff like that is like for the people who won't say the shit to your face. Uh-huh. So it's hard for me to like take it serious.
So you expect
if I'm in a restaurant, I expect the people who come up to me be like, yo, y'all need to get this together. Then I take that serious.
Right. Well, what
and we
do?
Put out these cards too on the table where you give you a
the common card. Like,
yeah.
And I'll kind of follow that.
I mean, what all do you do in the rest? Like, I saw Rick Ross was on Snapchat. First of all, Rick Ross is the best Snapchat account ever.
Yeah, I just seen Ross. Junk.
He's
I
amazing.
Step my snap up.
Yeah, really.
What's your Snapchat handle?
I am Yo Gotti. Okay. KOM. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I am Yo Gotti. KOM.
Does that mean that there is a Yo Gotti somewhere out there? Because that's always the craziest thing. Like, Angie Martinez has to be, like, Angie Martinez 1.
Right.
Yeah, that means somebody else probably took the name.
Yeah.
I saw there's DJ Khaled doesn't have DJ Khaled's.
What is he?
He's DJ Khaled 305.
Gotcha. But Ross has the best one because...
Because he's amazing.
Okay,
I mean, everything he does... Rick Ross will be, like, he'll videotape his entire like shelf and it'll be full of Charles Dickens novels and he'll say, you know I only get dudes full catalogs. Like, he's just so... amazing. But anyway, so he was behind the counter at one of his Wingstops and like trying to work the register. And so I don't know if you're like waiting tables. I don't know if you're.
When I go through there, I do whatever it takes. You know what I mean? A lot of time I come through there, we're taking pictures and stuff, checking on people, asking them, you know, did they have a good time? How was your experience? But, you know, we ain't too good. We don't work from the work. Mm. If I walk past the table and, you know, the plate need to be picked up, we doing that.
You do what it takes.
Yeah.
Sure.
If they're short staff, will they call you in?
Nah, they don't call me in. But if I'm there, I may volunteer.
Okay.
Yeah.
I mean, so you got the one restaurant.
Yeah.
Is there any idea of sort of franchising it or moving it to other areas?
Yeah, it's been doing so good that we probably going to put another downtown first in Memphis. Cause we're on the east side of Memphis.
Mm-hmm.
And then after that, we'll see if we go somewhere else.
Okay. What can you tell us about the Pyramid? Isn't that like sold now to like
Pro Bass Shop?
Yeah. So it's just a giant store?
Yeah, I ain't been in there yet, but I heard they got like bowling alleys and hotels and restaurants
and downtown
all type
Memphis.
Of things in the Bass Pro Shop. I haven't been in there myself yet.
You need to put a Privé in there.
Yeah, maybe that's the move. I gotta go in and check it out though first.
You guys should talk to Rick Ross about franchising.
I know.
Yeah. With the Wingstop.
Yeah.
He right down the street.
Oh, yeah?
He's right down the street from my restaurant. We probably like a light, one light, and then his joint.
So if you see that Tiffany Bentley, you know it's going to be a Privé. And then when you see his cars, you know that's going to be a
We support stop. Each other thing. Was, right. You know, I go eat at Wingstop. Him, his family, his mother, sister, they all come to Privé. Like,
do they all live out there?
I think close by somewhere.
Oh, wow.
And you came up from the north side of Memphis,
yeah,
right?
Ridgecrest.
What's the other part of Memphis I know about is south side. Is it just really north-south, essentially? But you're saying, like, your restaurant's east.
Yeah, East Memphis like the neutral zone.
Uh-huh.
You know, it used to be the good area, but now it's kind of.
Is that where is that where Penny Hardaway lives?
Yeah, I stay next door to Penny Hardaway.
Are you serious?
You really? Rap
no
about
big deal.
That?
Yeah, right next door.
How long have you been his neighbor?
Probably about 3-4 years now.
Is he a good neighbor?
Yeah, I get all the phone calls before they come out. Yeah.
You don't steal his paper, do you?
No.
All right, good.
No, he gives the papers.
Yeah,
that, yeah, yeah, yeah. So when he moved in, did you know it was him?
No, he was living there first.
Oh, you moved in.
You scouted the location.
You know, Penny got the long money. Yeah, he already had the chick. I just got the chick.
He's been doing phone pies.
Where did Calipari live when he was coaching down there?
Calipari didn't live where we live at. He lived in another part. I think it's like called Graceland. Shady Grove. I used to stay behind Graceland.
Did you really?
Yeah, before the feds came and kicked in our door and took my whole family to jail and all that. We used to stay right behind Graceland.
So you're right near Elvis Presley Boulevard.
Yeah, on the next street right behind it.
That's something.
Or we could jump his fence.
did you feel like Elvis's spirit?
Nah, I didn't really. Back then, I didn't even know who Elvis was.
But you know who he is now?
Yeah, but I ain't never been to Graceland, though.
You've never been to Graceland?
Yeah.
We'll talk. I have a connection, so we can get you in there. I'm dead serious.
I don't know if I want to go.
His planes are there.
Yeah, the planes cross the street.
His cars?
Plane, cars cross the street, the house. It's a lot of tourists come through, though.
So you just knew that it was, like, someplace that was popular with tourists? And
yeah.
But it wasn't something that you were looking to do?
Yeah, I didn't really know until I got a little older. That was, like, I didn't really know until after we moved out of there. Cause that was like that's the nice part.
Yeah.
Where every place in Memphis used to be the nice part.
Yep.
So back then it was the nice part, and then the feds came, and then we lost all the houses and cars and shit, and then you know we moved to the hood.
Now the nice part is under a pyramid.
Yeah. Well, you know,
the pyramid used to be a grain silo.
We back in the nice part now.
Nice.
So it was Al Green bigger to you, or Isaac Hayes bigger than you than Elvis?
Yeah, probably me, because I wasn't really hip to the music. I always knew the name, but I wasn't hip to the music.
Oh my gosh.
But in your house, was it like Stax mostly, or?
Yeah, old school.
Have you been to the Stax Museum out there?
Yeah.
That's a great thing.
Yeah.
You have too?
Yeah. When I'm in Memphis, Stax on records.
Yeah.
I stay at the Peabody because people rap about it. Like, I have to.
Yeah.
You stayed at the Peabody, I assume?
Sometimes when I'm creeping. You know what I mean? Because it's like an older, you know how the feel is in that hotel. It's more of an older, even though it's one of the highest hotels. Mm-hmm. It's kind of old fashioned.
Yo, but now people are gonna know that you stay out there.
New people ain't, the young people ain't creeping. So only when I'm creeping, I'm going to Peabody.
Wait, do you look forward to the ducks?
To who?
The ducks at the Peabody Hotel.
Oh no, I ain't looking for no ducks.
You know the story though, right? There's like ducks that live in a hotel. They do a whole ceremony
every day,
and the ducks come out of the elevator and they go to the pond.
It's a lot of things I ain't seen in Memphis, though. Like just, the tourists, like north, I don't be on Beale Street, I don't be in Gray Street, I don't know
overrated.
About the ducks.
Also, like, ducks are not the type of birds that Gotti's looking for. Exactly.
That's a good one. Yeah.
Exactly.
Chickens.
He knows what's popping.
Wait. Okay. Can you tell us what name you use to check into hotels? Like under?
Oh, they already be set up.
Oh, for real?
Yeah, we don't, ain't nothing in my name.
No, but
I'm so stuck back in the days, like, I don't think none of my stuff's still in my name today.
I would think that you would check in, like, under, like, Elvis Presley. Like, that would be, like, you know.
That'd be sort of dope.
Yeah.
Elvis is in the building.
Yeah.
The room key already be on deck. Yeah.
You know, you've been rapping forever, since you were, like, 16. But my question is, I've heard, you know, those raps, and your voice is so high. Now your voice is like a gravel pit.
Yeah.
What happened in the meantime, because you don't drink or smoke?
See, when I first started rapping, like, it was like, they the tongue twist, you know what I mean? Like, rap fast in Memphis. Skinny pimp. Them type of rappers. So that's how I first started out rapping. And then, you know how you find yourself over a period of time? Mm-hmm. And Skinny Pimp was the biggest rapper, hardest rapper. He had a squeaky voice and he rapped fast. So everybody from Memphis, I think, who was trying to be a rapper, that's how you rap.
Yeah.
And then it went to, I think, Juvenile came out.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And then I was such a big Juvenile fan that, like, listening to Juvenile music helped me find, like, my real style.
Because
I always had a deep voice.
Yeah.
So I just started rapping how I talk. Like, fuck it. You know what I mean?
But your voice wasn't, like, super low on those first recordings.
Yeah, but that's how we were pitching it.
Oh, gotcha.
Pitch. I think my voice always been deep. No, this is before that.
Oh, well before that. All right.
By the way, I do want to shout out Blue Smoke, which is where we went for the barbecue. And
this is like a spread.
It is a spread.
Ribs,
like, I haven't
chicken,
touched them yet.
Pulled pork, mashed potatoes, mac and cheese.
But like, besides Privé, where are you going in Memphis to get like real good barbecue?
You got Rendezvous. You got
Rendezvous is right by Peabody.
Cozy Alley.
That's where they have the hen. The Cornish hen.
Yeah, yeah.
I didn't go there, but I heard good
stuff. We from the city, so like we barbecued out.
Yeah.
Like we going to houses to eat barbecue.
We ain't going
to no restaurant. Somebody grandma house, somebody auntie house.
Yeah.
That's where we going.
But you're not at the grill.
No. Not that much.
And so with NBA season here, you're going to Grizzly games a lot?
When I get a chance to.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And now your guy, are you friends with Timberlake, who's a part owner of the team?
No, not Timberlake, but Zach Randolph, Tony Allen.
And I know Marc Gasol shouted you out.
Marc Gasol. All of us stay in the same community.
Really?
Do you really? Yeah.
So it's Penny.
So when they were coming down the street, over there, all of, you know what I'm saying?
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Who has the best cars?
Me.
Well, besides you.
Me and Zeebo.
Zeebo?
Yeah, Zach got them cars, too.
What was your first car?
Bonneville. Think of Bonneville.
White.
Brown top. My brother gave it to me when he went to jail. It was his car. He let me get it. I just put rims on it, fixed it up.
And everywhere you go, all white. Outside the Tiffany color Bentley.
Yeah, you know I changed the Lamborghini to Tiffany, the Aston Martin to Tiffany.
I didn't realize you did more Tiffany.
Yeah, we did every car except the drop head Rolls Royce.
What made you do Tiffany? Just because of that iconic color?
The color and if you know Tiffany diamonds, that's a different price line. Like it's like they own, just like Rolex diamonds, Tiffany diamonds, just some expensive shit. I was just trying to, you know.
This is flex. This is just pure flex.
Like we own some other shit.
Right, you're grown up now, so you don't need white cars.
Yeah, I still like white cars. It represents the struggle.
Sure, and then but where do you go from there? By the way, after Tiffany.
Bag white.
Okay.
Yeah, it's just a moment.
You'll eventually have like chameleon color. Paint. Mako is doing that, I'm sure. Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Actually, white cars get like dirty so easily.
Yeah, that's the significance behind the color white, right? But I remember back when everybody was doing black on black. That was the BMF phase.
Yeah.
BMF come through black on black, everything. Everybody calls back black on black. I never wanted to be like the fit in person. So, a couple of me and my homeboys who were getting a little money at the time, we're like, yo, we're going to go white on white. And the significance is if you can keep white clean, like it says something about you. If you can put on white in the morning and you be still clean at night, it's just a neat factor type shit.
Did you ever do that thing like Dame Dash used to have a million pairs of Keds and he would like only wear them once? Did you ever just like throw your outfits out? Yeah.
Yeah, Forces and V-necks. Mm-hmm. We just, we got the Nike factory out there too, so we buying Forces by the 20 pack.
See, I'm very disappointed now that they don't have MTV Cribs anymore because I feel like yours would be like a great episode.
Yeah, we got some, I probably wouldn't show it though.
I'm thinking like how many people's Gotti Linton in his house?
I shot one,
to Penny. Penny's next door. You want to see his crib?
I shot this one video called White World in one of my other houses and I told the video dude like we're going to shoot anywhere in the house, just don't shoot the front of the house. He convinced me that like at the front of the door we're going to shoot at an upper angle so you ain't going to be able to tell. Well, the house said, and I let the dude shoot this shit, and man, everybody popped
knew where
up in my house, leaving CDs in the mailbox, girls leaving their numbers and shit.
How'd they leave their numbers?
Just in the mailbox.
Okay. They didn't just, like, drop a phone in there?
It's just, like, paper, phone, number, name.
And you didn't even know, you didn't get a picture, you don't got, measurements.
Some pictures. Okay.
Yo, you should have just taken a chance, see, like, who picked up.
I took a few.
Yeah?
Yeah.
So you meet me at the Peabody?
Nah.
I feel like, you would not be good at prank calls.
Probably not. I barely answer the phone.
Well, but your voice is so distinctive.
Yeah, I barely. Like, I don't even. If I don't know the number, I ain't picking up.
So I think it'd probably be hard to get me.
Yeah.
You straight text, DM, that stuff.
Yeah, straight.
So how does somebody get a verse from you then? They have to call, like, one of your guys?
I had to like the song first.
Oh, well, sure.
And I mean, if you're another rapper that I rock with, you hit me.
Right.
But if you're just somebody trying to spend some money, I don't know. Because the money don't really move us no more.
Right. Well, that's
we already got money.
That's what's like amazing about you is you have money since you were a teenager, like early.
A little bit.
And so it's like, you're right, money doesn't move you. Like, now it's got to be about, like, do you really care about the song or the property or the, you know,
it's
whatever.
More success is like a high. It's like the fact of knowing you can turn nothing into something.
Sure.
You know, money is money, but the value of money is what's different. You know what I mean? Like, I had six figures when I was in, what, the 10th, 11th grade or some shit? you know what I'm saying? Like in school, three, four cars, own house, all that. So, and I had already like felt like I had been poor, lived cool, you know, just through, without my money, just, you know, like I said, living behind Elvis, police come, going to the hood, brother start hustling, we move to a better place, he go to jail, we move back to the hood. So I had already been on the seesaw game, just being a rattler. You know what I mean? So when I got my own money, I already knew how the game going. I didn't value a lot of things, you know, with the money. I took it as it come, like it's cool.
Well, can you talk about that first distribution deal that you did?
Yeah, the, you talking about the one with Selecto Hits?
Mm-hmm, yeah.
Yeah, it was like you get, it was like just a P&D deal. It's kind of like hustling.
And that was local
you,
in Memphis.
Yeah, yeah. I take you 10,000 CDs, you give me $650, $7 or something a CD. So you give me 65,000 every 10,000 CDs I give you. You know, I drop the CDs off, you drop the money off. I go back to the studio, you know what I'm saying? It was like hustling.
How old were you at that point?
I don't know, man. I was still in probably like last year of school. Or
man.
Year before that.
So you go in there and you do this deal. Are those guys who are certainly older than you, right? Like, what do they think when this, you know, high school senior is just like telling them, here's how we're
cool,
going to do this?
The cool thing about it was like the company were ran about older guys, but they had this one dude that was one of the older guys' son.
Mm-hmm.
And for some reason, me and him just were cool. Like from day one, like he was like the son that was my age, but he was going to be running the company later. And me and him really clicked. And he the one really showed me a lot of the game behind the scenes that he probably shouldn't have been showing me. Like, he just showed me all skinny pimp and player fly, gangster black, sound scans, and tell me how much money they was getting off of CD. So when I went and talked to his daddy, I already knew. I'd be like, yo, no, I need this much of CD because I knew there was skinny they was getting. You know what I'm saying? But so I learned a lot of the game. I just spent time with their son.
And where's
just
he
going
today?
Through the computer. He running the company now.
Okay, all right.
Yeah, Wes Phillips. Shout out to Wes Phillips.
Do you see him around town?
Yeah, I love him.
He's in your community too, I'm assuming.
No. But he running. I'm pretty sure he got plenty of money.
Yeah. What took more space in your house? You know, when you were coming up, money or CDs? Because you had like 10,000 CDs in your place.
Probably CDs, because I didn't have the money in my house. It's one of the rules of the street. Like, you never leave a sack where you sleep at. That's the first place they come.
And you spread it out different rooms.
And then when you put MTV Cribs, you know. Yeah.
Different places.
Have you watched Narcos?
Yeah, I just finished it.
Yeah.
I didn't know Escobar was that bad.
Yo. And he hid his money around too, by the way.
Yeah.
I saw in the news, like, someone just, like, a farmer was, like, digging around and just, like, found, like, a ton of money, like, some just incredible amount.
You know what? That's one of the harder parts in the street. Like, I think having the money is harder than making it.
Because you got
to be creative. You don't have people to trust. You run out of people to trust. And then it's the typical spots. Like, your mama, your sister. Like, this is the typical place. First place you take the money. Like, the police, the robbers. Them the first places they coming. Mm-hmm. So you got to bypass the first two, three people that you really trust. So most of the times, it's like, you either got to hide it in plain sight. Or you got to hide it with people you really don't trust.
And then get creative.
Oh, yeah. Get super creative.
Where's the most creative place you hid your money?
That's not there now. So exactly. Okay.
Yeah, because
I thought you'd be like,
the Peabody Hotel.
Yeah. It would have been so awesome if we could, like, one set of
He knows
like,
more
a
about the ducks.
Hunt.
Like,
I
yeah.
know, yeah.
I
wish you were like, I hid it in a tree.
Yeah.
Someone go find it.
I was paranoid when I first started putting the money. You know, you had a little money. Really, when I got like my first $10,000, I remember I got my first $10,000. I put it in the wall, right? Knocked the hole in the wall, put it in the wall, had the dude to come patch it up. Mm-hmm. And then every day, every night, I'd be like, I wonder, did he see it? Did he get it out of there before he taped it up?
You so know you're ready to break a hole again.
Yeah, so 48 hours, I knocked the
you
hole
really
back in the wall, took the money right back out. You know what I'm saying?
Then he came back and repatched it for you?
Yeah, repatched it again.
He's just thinking you have like animosity, yeah, like, man, you have like anger issues?
Problem with
I
the walls.
Fell again. You know? He was like a family friend too, the okay. dude. He was a handyman. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Yeah, so, but I don't believe in hiding the money.
Yo, how well do you tip, by the way?
Tip?
Yeah.
Oh, I tip.
Yeah.
Especially being at a restaurant, like, that's important. Like, you want to make sure they...
Yeah, you know, when I own a restaurant, I didn't know that how much money waitresses make to own a restaurant.
Oh, in terms of, like, the tipping wage.
Yeah, like, yeah. I didn't know that, like, you know, they get $2 or $3 or whatever.
And the rest on
tips. And then the rest on tip. I didn't ever know that until I open a restaurant.
Does Danny Meyer own?
So Blue Smoke. Blue Smoke is owned by a company named Union Square Hospitality, and the owner, Danny Meyer, came out and said all of his restaurants are going no tip. So you go, you eat, you pay your bill, and they make it so all the, you know, the waitresses, the waiters earn a salary.
Oh, I seen that on news. I don't know about that. Because, like, I'm a hustler, and I hate to take the hustle away from people. So I feel like if you do that, you don't give them motivation. You know what I mean? Like, we tell our servers, like, you're selling experience. You're not really selling food. That's how you get your money. You know what I mean? The better you make the person feel, the more money you make.
Do you have any relatives who work at Privé?
Yeah, we had to fire them.
What happened?
ASAP.
Why?
You know that shit don't mix. You
know what I'm saying? They didn't get the, they didn't see the motivation. They were just like, you know what I mean? God, he got me a job.
They know you is day joint.
I'm tasting the food in the back.
Yeah.
You can't even tell them what to do. They gonna tell you what to do. You know what I'm saying?
They're telling you what dessert doesn't taste
good.
But
now you're gonna see him again at Thanksgiving, right? Like,
yeah, that's our family. You know it's the family, man. You fight all the time. My family like that. They don't care nothing about you being guided or nothing.
No?
They coming straight at you. You know what I mean? What's up, man? You know what I'm saying?
So they're like, introduce me to Paul Paukas or Marcus All. Introduce me to Zeebo.
Yeah, they won't know what's up with everybody.
Well, what are you doing for Thanksgiving? Do you have people over your house?
I'll probably go to my mama's house.
Okay.
Yeah. We still meet on my mama's house. Yeah. She cooked the best.
All right.
Yeah.
So you originally signed to RCA, right?
TBT.
Oh, TBT. I'm sorry. Yeah. And that was not a good situation.
At all.
You were there. Were you there during Ying Yang and Pitbull?
Ying Yang, Lil Jon, Pitbull.
And I know Pitbull. I mean, a lot of them had like litigation against TBT to get out.
Yeah. I had to buy myself out the contract.
Jeez.
Because, you know, they went bankruptcy. Mm-hmm. Then a company bought them. Then all our contracts moved over to the new company. So I ended up giving them like $500,000 to get out the deal. I had only got $40,000 to sign, so they profit $460,000.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
Have you run into any of them since then?
No, these are just corporate people. Companies.
You just like chalk that up to like that's the industry. You know, not even win some, lose some. Game. But, like it's you
game.
Learn.
It's the game.
It's a shitty game.
Yeah. Then I went after that. I went because see I was trying to sign what Warner Brothers and RCA was trying to sign me, right? Because they knew TBT had folded, but they didn't know that the other people still had my contract, and I didn't know initially either. So when they first went bankrupt, so I'm like, I'm free, and then it's like, oh no, you ain't
kind of like a Young Thug situation.
Yeah, you know I mean, right? So I'll be with these people, and it's like once everybody felt that I still had to buy the deal out, they tried to use that as leverage. Like, okay, well we'll buy you out the contract and we'll give you this. You know what I mean?
So I'm like, no.
Because they knew the amount. So I guess they thought maybe they had the money or something. So I'm like, look, I tell you what, I'm going to get out the situation, then I'm going to come back and holler at y'all. And y'all know y'all going to have to pay dearly. You know what I mean? Because you know what I spent to get out. So you know I need that back. Plus, we got to talk about what makes sense on top of that.
So then you go to RCA.
Yeah, then I go to RCA.
And then you left RCA.
I actually took less money from RCA. Like Warner Brothers would offer me probably like at the time, man, like $600,000-$700,000 more.
Well, what were you looking for in a partner?
I always want to win. Like I do, I believe that if you do the right business, you make the money on the back end. Like I think you're only looking for the money up front if you need money.
Right.
You understand? Right. So I went to Warner. At the time, I went to Warner, which is Warner's a whole new different company now.
Right.
But back then, you know. I went and walked through the whole system. Then I went and walked through RCA whole system. It was night and day at the time, like with the staff. And, you know, when you went through RCA, you seen the radio staff and the TV. Like, you seen everybody. So I just felt that it was a better fit at the time. So that's why I took less money, because I felt like I had a better chance on winning.
Yeah. Well, at what point did you think that you could, or did you think that you could be a national artist, or were you like, I just want to focus on being the best regional artist I could be? Like,
nah, I ain't never thought of being regional. Like, anything I do, I think about being the biggest at doing it. Like, if I'm gonna be in the streets, I'm probably get a kingpin charge.
Yeah,
I ain't doing no running no lit shit.
Right,
I'm not trying to get no $500-$600, $10,000-$20,000. You know what I mean? Like, I'm trying to do it to the biggest magnitude.
Yeah,
if I'm gonna be in the music business, I want to be executive. I want to have my own company. You know what I mean? So everything I ever got into, it always been to do it on the highest level.
So you go in there and you tell them that, and you're like, yeah, this is what I expect of everybody here?
Yeah, like I'm not coming to get no royalty and no, you know, you You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. But the advanced money don't pay enough for me.
Right, right.
Yeah, that ain't enough.
You already had more than that at the time of signing. Like,
yeah, we do that in a night. You know what I mean?
And plus, you fired your family, so you know.
Yeah.
It saves money.
Yeah. Rappers these days have camera crews following them at all times.
Yeah.
You have your camera crew here.
Yeah, he's from Colombia, too.
Okay.
Wait, Colombia?
The country or the university?
Medellin.
Oh.
Medellin, Colombia.
Has he seen Narcos?
Yeah, he'd be telling me a little behind the scenes.
But when do your camera guys show up in the morning, and when do they leave at night?
Man, he had to move when I moved to work with me, period.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying?
Like, did you have to interview him?
No, not really.
Uh-huh.
I just see some of your work and let's go.
It wasn't like you like sitting him down, like asking him.
No, fuck the resume.
Like
we don't do resumes.
The best thing is that before you got here, Jeff was scrolling as far back as he could on your Instagram, and you found the first picture that you put up.
Oh, it's the best picture ever. You have the best entry picture to Instagram that anybody's ever put up.
What, the money in the pool?
Yeah.
Wait, what, the water was out, right?
Mm-mm.
Nah.
Nope.
Why did you
in the pool.
Why'd you throw the money in the pool?
The crazy thing is I was doing, I did a lot of crazy things that day, and that was the picture that I used. I had took the money. I had took the money, and I washed it. I put it in the washer.
Mm-hmm.
I put it in the dryer. I earned it. What else we do with the money? Threw it in the pool. Took it out the pool. Dried it again.
Took it grocery shopping.
Yeah,
like.
I was just doing a lot of crazy things with the money around the house.
And you said cleaning out the pool. # bitch, I'm racked up.
Because yeah, that's when I had that record on sacked up. So I was just doing like a lot of crazy.
Yeah, that's almost 200 weeks ago, by the way.
Did you count a prior?
Yeah. It's almost 4 years.
Yeah,
you need to like do an anniversary and throw more money into more pools.
That's right.
You're just going to people's house and throw money in their pools.
That'd be a good scavenger hunt too. Yeah.
So is that your house next to Penny?
No, this is a different house.
That's behind Graceland.
Yeah, because I do wonder what like the neighbors think when they see like, oh, there goes Gotti throwing money in the pool again.
Well, when I moved to the neighborhood, it was like, you know, like there goes the neighborhood. You know, we thugging.
How many cars do you have right now?
Probably like 8.
How many times do family members or friends like, hey, could I hold that?
Oh, we don't care about that. No. Everybody's driving cars.
So people must see thinking it's you and the Tiffany Bentley, but it's just like your cousin.
Yeah, it's whoever. We ain't tripping about none of that.
You got to know Baby how far back?
Long, long time ago. Like me, Baby, Birdman, Slim, Wayne, Whole Cash Money. Mm-hmm. That was like the point that made me really take the music game serious. Before that, I was like on the fence.
Yeah.
Like, because I was getting so much money in the street, and I didn't really believe in the rappers. Like, I only seen rappers when they came to my city, and at the time, I didn't see no difference between them and me.
Yeah.
Like, we had the same jewelry. We had the same, you know, as far as, you know, the things I could see.
Yeah.
So I didn't really see the difference. It was the first time I went around Birdman them that I was like, shit you seen on Cribs and videos, it was really there. And I could tell like they was guys like me. Mm-hmm. That they had been in the street hustling at some point.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, so to be around people who worth 200-300 million and they were street dudes, that was like, this could be you.
That was like motivation.
Yeah.
Okay.
So that was the first time I had seen, you know what I mean? That was different from coming to New York, me mm-hmm. with an A&R in the office.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like, come on, man. You ain't for the sign, nobody. You know what I mean? You can pay the salary. You got to do your job. Look like you're doing your job. Play music loud. Hallway. I've been up here 100 times. You still ain't signing. You know what I mean? Not coming to New York no more. You know what I'm saying?
It's a waste of time.
If you sign me, you coming to Ridgecrest Park.
And did they?
Yeah, they had to come to Memphis. Yeah.
Well, that's like when Lior, who'd he sign? Lior went to like, for Bump J, Lior went to Chicago. Mm-hmm. Went to like the,
yeah, show us you're serious. Come out here.
Yeah.
We ain't coming to New York no more.
Wayne had that line where he said, I bet with Gotti,
he hit five straight points. I'm as hot as it gets. I'm the youngest in charge. The y'all show me respect. Cause I'm a bad one. I represent for the South. My resident is the snow. A couple goals in my mouth. Make my guess in my charm. I'm as hot as it gets. I'm the youngest in charge. The y'all show me respect. I represent for the South. Money
to be made, best believe a nigga clocking. Yeah. I run it myself like a quarterback option. Yeah. I pitch a 10 G's, tell a bitch to go shopping. Go she buy herself some clothes and she bought me back a chopper. These niggas trying to kick it, but no, I don't play soccer. I'm all about my kick, I'm trying to marry Betty Crocker. A package on the way, you know my whip game proper. And off of one key, I see $70,000. Now I was shooting dice, smoking on the joint. I bet with your guy he hit five straight points. We over here hustling.
Yeah, we was gambling that day, actually.
Where at?
We was at the Hit Factory in Miami shooting dice.
Okay.
We shoot dice heavy.
Yeah.
Right?
Yep.
So,
high stakes?
Yeah, yeah. We shoot. You know, you may win.
A couple dollars.
50, 75,000 a night gambling.
Goddamn.
Yeah, so.
I'm not in that dice game at all.
Then so, after the dice game, I asked him to do this record. And, you know, Wayne go in straight off the head. I guess that's what he was thinking about because we were shooting dice.
Man. Do you write before you rap or no?
Nah, not no more.
How long has that been?
Probably like 5-7 years, anywhere between 5 years maybe.
Are you still doing 2 songs a day?
Probably more.
Really?
Yeah, I done 4 songs the night I recorded DM.
Wow.
4 songs. And I did that in DJ Khaled's studio too. In Miami.
What's your best DJ Khaled story? Because we had August Alsina in here a couple weeks ago.
Yeah.
And he told us on his birthday he went out with Khaled on their boat, on Khaled's boat. He's like, yeah, it's your birthday, you gotta come out. So he's like, all right. Then they take some jet skis. Then they go to Khaled's house and they leave the jet skis in the water, and the water just takes the jet skis away. And the two of them had to jump
swim
in the water.
Yeah, and swim like for like a mile and to get like, these jet
we're
skis.
We're like, both of you? And he's like, don't underestimate the fat boy.
Yeah. I mean, the first time I done this record for Khaled, I think the one that's on his album he just put out, mm-hmm. He called me to the studio.
Well, you and Future on it, right?
Yeah, to do it. And like, anybody know Khaled, like he's so like adamant about the music. So like he like, no, you gotta come here right now. You gotta come over here. I come listen to it. He like, you know, take your time doing it. Then before you leave, like, but I need it like tonight. You know what I mean? Like then you leave while you're in the car, you call your phone, your brother, I need this music right back. I'm trying to wrap it up. This record is special.
Every time that, you're like, yeah, all right, get off my back. I got to do this. This is my life.
No, I ain't trying to sweat you. But I need it. So it's like, Khaled, like, I respect his hustle. Like, yeah, anything he want, mm-hmm, he going to get it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And he going to be on you. Like, I said, I learned that. I'm like, yo, I'm start doing that. Because, you know, me, I'm like, I hate to hit another. Like, if I give you a record to do and you don't sit it right back, and I'm like, I hit you 1 or 2 times, I ain't calling you no more.
Mm. Move on.
You know what I'm saying? But, yeah, like, when I said, yo, maybe I need to do the Khaled shit. Just hit him back to back. You know what I mean? You see he had the best collaborations. Like, you know what I mean? Maybe that's what I need to do. Yeah.
Need to do another one.
Another one.
Yeah. Ah, I get it.
Yeah, thank you.
Wait, is The Art of Hustle out?
No, it's coming, though.
When is that? Or is there, like, kind of it's on up in the air?
Just whenever I feel like.
All right. We're looking forward to it because it's been a minute. It's been, yeah, like, almost 2 years. It's been two years.
Yeah, is that part of your deal with Epic where you get to decide when you put albums out?
Yeah. Oh, well, you know, it's a collective effort.
Mm-hmm.
You know, me and L.A., we good business partners.
Mm-hmm.
We both want money.
Yeah, sure.
You know what I mean? I mean, we both don't want to fuck up. So we ain't going to never rush nothing.
Has L.A. been to Ridgecrest?
Nah, I might get him out there.
Yeah, I think you have to.
He should come down to Thanksgiving, by the way. Go to your mom's house and hang out.
Yeah. L.A. getting too
put him to work in Privé.
L.A. too busy, man. L.A. ain't pulling up like that.
Can you talk about when you linked up with Jadakiss?
Jadakiss the homie. Like, Jadakiss one of the first rappers from New York who I feel like embraced me. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Who, like, done a record with me, done a record for me. So me and Jada always had, like, a great relationship. We actually was recording a project together. So we still got a lot of songs.
A full project together? Yeah. No kidding.
Yeah, so we actually got a lot of songs already recorded together.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Who's got those files? You or him?
Both. I think both of us.
Are they hidden in the wall?
Nah, it's just on the drive.
See, I just shot a video on Yonkers, nigga. Shit crazy, huh? And nigga, I grew up bumping that motherfucking D block. Style P. You know, I get high. That motherfucking Jada. Look. Damn, life against the odds. Family got a plug, lost some fans, he got robbed. Damn.
Since I've been running with the mob, it's number drive-bys, homicides, and shooting up niggas' cars. What's the point of being a street nigga, kicking it with the star? For the niggas that you really love, locked behind bar. I was hustling in the day, putting moves in the dark. Nigga, you ain't got a clue about me. I swear to God, they say I'm real and they say I'm humble. Get money out the hood where I'm most comfortable. Play with me and I'ma go bonkers. And shot a video in the middle of Yonkers. Real niggas, what's up?
I know my pops is from Memphis. I used to go out there every summer as a kid. You know what I mean? Ride around, listen to the OJs and shit. Only thing I asked Pools to do was loop the beat again. Came back strong. Adrian Peterson. They wanted to smoke dust, so I bought them leaders in. See you at the crossroad, that's if we ever meet again. School never lets out, lot of shit you'll never know. Sitting on the mother load, these niggas is telling no. Fell back, I can't be around y'all haters. Praying for my downfall, downfall prayers. Then you wonder why I be around ball players. Why? Cause these niggas is doing the Fed small favors. Yeah, I survived in the trenches. I reside where the strength is. Salute North Memphis.
D block on these blocks. 10 pounds of meat.
Do you know Jada, one of my like favorite rappers. Like I see his new campaign with the album. He got like the statue, like
he
the
yeah, himself. Yeah, yeah.
Like when I see that shit on Instagram, I'm like, that was perfect for him. Because I feel like he one of the best rappers of all time.
Top five that are alive.
So if anybody could do that, it had to be somebody like him, mm-hmm. Bun B.
Yep.
You know what I'm saying? Like, they're the only people who could do that for campaign sure. That he's doing.
Totally.
By the way, shouts to Matt Senna, who did the bust of him.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Nice. Who and had to travel with it, right?
Yeah. He somehow had to, like, smuggle Jadakiss's head across the country in a bag. He, like, put it through TSA.
This is not a Narcos plot, right?
No. Yeah. Like, they didn't even check that. They checked the base of it because they were like, oh, you know, stuff could be hidden in the marble or whatever because it's hollow.
That's so strange.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you speak about, like, with features and all that, usually, you know, you hit each other up. What about production? Like, when you hear, who do you go to? Because if you didn't, like, early, what, 2 years ago with your album, you had Metro on there. You had Honorable C Note.
Yeah.
You had guys that people are kind of checking for now.
Yeah.
Who, how do you, and Lil Lodi, people like them. What's the best way to get you a production?
See, I like just good music. Mm-hmm. So it's like, I'm not name driven. So a lot of times, I have everybody send the music in to the email or to my mm-hmm. partners and them. And we go in the studio, I just tell them to pull up the beats. We go through the beats quick, and I rap on them. They don't tell me like, oh, this Metro beats, mm-hmm. oh, this C-Note beats. I just rap on the beats, and then after I realize like, I'm gonna use this song, then it's like, who done the beat? So I'm not rapping on the music just because a certain person done it.
Because being from Memphis, you would think, okay, Drummer Boy, okay, Squeaky.
Drummer Boy, like, that's what we come up with. I probably was the first person to ever buy a Drummer Boy.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, at the gas station. I'm hustling, pulling up, buying 10 Drummer Boy beats at a time at the gas station. I'm having him and, you know, some other people meet me at the gas station at the same time. I get the money from
managers.
One pump, mm-hmm. walk over there, get Drummer the money, another pump, he give me the CD. All right, I'll pull off.
And the gas station attendant's like, okay, this is just normal business, you know.
Yeah,
they're eventually going to come in and buy some Doritos or something like that.
Yeah, maybe get some gas. Maybe
different kind of gas.
That's right. I don't want to, like, blow up your spot, but...
We've done that already.
But everybody at Epic finds you to be the most hardworking...
Easiest
to work with.
Straight up.
Artist. And what does that mean to you?
We're not saying that just because, like, they're all here,
by the way. No, but that
is... ILA.
That is the honest truth. Everyone always says that, like, you're just willing to go to work and you know what the value of your time is.
Yeah. I just want to win, man. You know what I mean? And, like... I feel like even within myself, like, I feel like nobody gonna work as hard as you. You know what I mean? Or it's like, it's leading by example.
Mm-hmm.
If you make the team feel like we working, they working. You know what I mean? So this, even with me, I tell my artists that, like, my nigga, I'm not like, if you think you just sit at home and I just work for you, it don't work like that. Like, you know what I'm saying? The harder I see my artists work, the harder I want to work for them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so I just believe in it, and I just want to know first-hand information, because a lot of time in this music business, you get like in the industry with the record label, it's always to make it sound good for the artist, even if it's bad. Don't tell them the record ain't working. We working on it. or you know what I mean, like in, right. within the label staff meetings, these senior staff meetings and all this, you know what I mean, they ain't gonna tell you what's going on in them meetings. You know what I mean, they may not believe in the record, but when they talk to you, oh yeah, it's good, we're going,
is it.
We going for this
one,
yeah, yeah. You know, it's a little more struggle.
We're gonna do like a soft push in, like, you know, certain areas. Yeah,
I want to know the real man. This shit ain't working. We need something else. You know what I mean? Like, we ain't getting good response, because I feel like the more information you give me, the more information I got to work with. So if you tell me it's bad, I can plan for the, the audible.
Right.
If you tell me it's good, but you know it's bad, you set me up for failure. Because I'm not, I'm, you know what I'm saying? I'm planning different.
You're pushing it, yeah. Everyone.
But I bet the system isn't set up for you. Like,
see, I learned that with Steve Gottlieb at TBT.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I remember I had a meeting with me and my manager. And they called him out the room and tried to get me to step out the meeting. Because what they'll say to my manager, they didn't want to say in front of me. But they didn't know that I was really managing the manager. you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, he was just really delaying the messages of what I was telling them. You know what I mean? So he went in there and convinced them, like, yo, this, I'm telling you, like, this ain't the average artist. Like, he can hear it. So I actually said in my first meeting, hearing them talk about me and my project like I wasn't in there. You know what I mean? So that kind of, like, I think they helped me as an executive, though, because it helped me, like, draw a little different attachment, step away from just, like, attaching the record to my personal feelings and more to business.
Well, you know that, like, most artists are sensitive and crazy,
yeah,
and so where do you fit into that?
I ain't sensitive at all. You know what I mean? It's music. I love doing it, but it's, you know, just because you, I mean, like, I think I may be my biggest fan too, but at the same token, like, if this shit ain't working, it ain't working. If it's whack, it's whack. You know what I'm saying? Like, tell me.
Do you think that you're top five?
Yeah. I think that.
That's the right answer, by the way.
Yeah, I think that.
I think when it comes to hustling too, I'm probably top three.
Okay.
You know what I mean? Like, if you take any artist, Purels or whoever, right?
Yep.
And you put everybody's accomplishments out as far as numbers of sales and all that, right? And then you put out the money grossed, I'm going to be up there with the top three. You know, I ain't talking about DJs and, you know, that's a different level. I'm talking about Purels, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Who some of them sold millions of records.
Mm-hmm.
And we still do the same numbers. You know what I mean? We still get the same money if I ain't get more. You know? And they know that. That's why they respect me.
Can you tell us, I just wanted to hear a good Jeezy story if you have one.
Oh, man. I go back with Jeezy. I met Jeezy in, I think I met him in Memphis the first time. He was just swinging through. And then I went to Atlanta, and I met him. Then I met him in Puerto Rico. They do the Mix Show Power Summit.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And I think both of us got left by the, you know, the little thing, the shuttle used to pick people up.
Mm-hmm.
So we both end up getting left at the resort. So we were, like, stuck, I think, to talk to each other. So that's the first time we really broke, chopped it up. And, you know, he would give me his story. I was giving him my story. And it was kind of similar, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
Coming from the streets and what we believed in and what we was trying to do. You know what I mean? I think we just locked in from there. Because it's like, if you find somebody who going through the exact same thing you going through in the same life, it's hard not to rock with them.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? It's like looking in the mirror.
So when you linked up with Jeezy and YG...
For Acrite, right?
For Acrite. Did you have to get to know YG first, or you just trust Jeezy that, like, this guy's going to be...
I had heard about him. YG was killing it on the West Coast already.
Mm-hmm.
And I recorded a lot of my album on the West Coast. So
right.
I was hearing, when I went to the club, they were rocking YG hard.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, in the club, on the radio, like, so you couldn't miss his name. You knew he was the dude out there,
yeah,
out there way. I'm going back to the bay. Rest in peace, man, Dre. All I do is talk, yay. Bottles on replay, trying to break a record like a DJ. That's 150 bottles in one night. I get it, bitch, act right. Money don't fold, is it act right. Nigga playing games, get that act right. I'm going back to the bay. Rest in peace, Mac Dre. I'm a screen nigga, all I do is talk, yeah.
Woman in your city, nigga, know they gon' pay. I ain't looking for a free throw, looking for a free throw. Cuban link chain on my neck, weigh a kilo. Nigga just violated, piss dirty to his P.O. On a real nigga scale, 1 to 10, you a 0. Damn, met a bad bitch, she was Creole. On the west coast, but she said she from the N.O. Act right, get your life changed. Fuck a purse, you can get the last name. Real nigga shit, boy, I hate lanes. All my niggas sell dope a gangbang. Me and Cash just to act right. Dean in a four and you don't look right. In the club, got them bottles.
What'd you know about DJ Mustard? Did you know anything?
Nah, like the crazy thing is that when I got the record, a guy named P-Lo done the beat. Mm-hmm. So when people start talking to me like, yo, that's some, you know what I mean, like a Mustard record or a Mustard sounding record, mm-hmm. I didn't really know what they was talking about.
Because that was before, like, his sound was defined.
No, his sound was already popping. I just wasn't familiar with it. You know, so I kind of figured it out after the fact what they was talking about. You know what I'm saying?
Do you listen to the radio?
Not a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah, not a lot. I don't listen to other music a lot. Like, really, when I'm recording, I don't listen to no music. Like, I think, like, I only do, when I'm recording, I'm only listening to what I'm doing.
So, how, like, in terms of sound, how do you just do what's like instinct almost? Like, what sounds good to you?
Yeah, what I feel. I'm in the club a lot, though. So, you got to think, I'm in the club 4-5 times a week. So, I'm seeing the music that the people are reacting to.
So, of course, you know DJ Mustard.
Yeah. No, Mustard killing it.
Yeah.
I done, since then, though, like, after the Act Right records.
You did Giuseppe's on his album.
And then, like, once I figured out who Mustard was and I got in tune with the sound, then I got the, yo, Mustard, I need some joints, man. You know what I mean? Like, cause I ain't know, but once I got hip, yo, man, let's do it. Yeah. I recorded a couple of joints with Mustard.
What's it called? So you have a clothing line now?
Yeah, Hood America.
How's that doing?
It's great. It came out in like 200 stores. November this month, the first day of drop ship in the store.
Mm-hmm.
In the stores, it's doing good.
You have family members working in the for the company?
Not yet.
Probably not.
Not yet or not anymore?
Nah.
Yeah, but you know my brother, he gonna be, anything I'm involved in, he gonna be involved in.
Oh, that's good. You just don't want to have little cousins, like, you know.
Yeah. I mean, you gotta make sure they can work,
you know what I mean? Just the restaurant business is different.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You gonna have any Black Friday deals for the clothing? Can you give us a promo code we can, like?
I don't know. We might have some.
All right.
Yeah.
Like, in the DM, promo code in the DM at checkout, and we're good?
Yeah, it might be a little something. Yeah, but check that out, Hood America, man. Get to them.
You were backstage at Jay-Z at a concert in Miami, and you were backstage with, like, a who's who of, like, everybody.
Yeah.
Yeah, like, who was there? Khaled, Ross.
Puff. Meek.
Yep.
Because
there was a great picture.
Yeah.
Of all that.
And you were next to Jay-Z.
Yeah.
And Diddy.
That was the first time I met Jay.
What was that conversation like?
You know, I met a lot of people, man. I think it ain't been none but a few people that I met that I was like, you know what I mean? Like,
starstruck. Yeah.
This is surreal. Like.
When I first time I met Jay,
yep.
You know what I mean? One time I was in the studio with Dr. Dre.
Whoa.
When Nate, you know, I repeated Nate.
Yeah.
Nate Dogg, he had brought me in the studio with Dre. Oh, wow. You know, one time. And I was just, you know, Dre don't probably don't even remember this, but I was just in the studio with Nate, just one of the dudes on the couch. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? But
what do you do in that situation? You have to, like, just sort of, like, act cool and sort of...
No, I'm just cooling because it's an honor to be in a room like that.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, even though I never worked with Dre, he probably didn't even remember. You know what I mean? That's still one of my highlights of my career, just being in the room.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? When I meet Jay, you know, and it's like... I remember I was walking through the thing and I bumped into him and I turned around and he was right there. I'm like, oh, what's up, man? You got it. He's like, oh, I know what you're doing.
You're being proper. You're being, you know, professional about it.
So, you know what I'm saying? Like, you know, he said a few things to me like he knew. And I can't think of the key thing he said to me. And I'm like, oh, shit.
That must have really boosted you up.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that was dope.
You had met Diddy before, though, that night in Miami.
Yeah, I met Diddy. I had bumped into Diddy a couple times.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? But my highlight with Diddy was one time I think that when Diddy was doing the management thing.
Mm-hmm. Right.
He was doing the management thing. He hit me. And I actually went and met him in Atlanta.
Who was he managing?
Nicki.
Nicki. A couple people. And Ross.
He was managing. Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
He had hit me up. And I went to Atlanta. And I went to his hotel. You know what I mean? I met with him, and it was a classic Diddy, man. It's like, you know, it's just certain people, man. It's like, they just motivate you.
Yeah.
Like, just being in their presence, the way they talk, the way they move, you know what I mean? It's just like, you see hundreds of millions of dollars when they moving and when they talking.
Well, he's always working just like you. Yeah. So, I mean, like, I feel like you guys connect on... by the way, so...
Eric, I always looked up to them type of dudes. I ain't never really looked up to rappers.
Mm-hmm.
I always looked up to your Diddy's and your Birdmans and mm-hmm. Slims and Jay's and Jay Prince
mm-hmm.
and Master P's. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Them type of guys. Like,
they're at the top of the game. They're at the very, very top.
You know, outside of, I may look at a rapper like far as they flow, mm-hmm. creativity, and I respect that, but I already respected the boss.
By the way, Eric and I once got a request to meet with Mr. Combs. Mm-hmm. Like, he emailed and it was like, you have been summoned to meet Mr. Combs. And everybody was like speaking in hushed tones around the Bad Boy offices. Like, it was the weirdest.
And they all referred to him as Mr. Combs.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then for a while, you were one of the few artists, I don't want to say few, but one of the artists that stayed in touch with Boosie when he was incarcerated.
Yeah.
And you looked out for his family and all that.
Yeah, see, I understand, me and Boosie came up a lot of similar ways. Like, I was hot in my region, he was hot in his region,
mm-hmm.
and we used to do shows.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, when we were getting, like, $1,500 and $2,000 to do these little clubs, we always crossed paths, so we always knew each other
mm-hmm.
before both of us had a lot of success. You know, so I got a lot of respect for Boosie because, you know, I know he had to go through
mm-hmm.
to get in position. Then he got to get in position because we had to go through the same thing, so. Mm-hmm. But I seen this situation. Plus, I'm just being from the street. It's like, you gotta understand, when you're in the free world, what means something to people in prison, it's way more valuable in prison than it is in the free world.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Collecting their call, picking up their phone, mm-hmm. doing something for somebody's family. You know what I mean? Like, because a lot of people disappear when them type of things happen.
You were talking about Boosie. We're good friends with Bun. And we had him on the podcast not too long ago, and he was talking about whenever he would go to Memphis, like, just the way that, like, tours would route, he hadn't met 8-Ball and MJG.
Yeah, even though they were, like, both hot at the same time. And like, you know, UGK and 8-Ball and MJG.
For, like, the longest time. They were never in the same city at the same time.
Yeah, so they met, very late on.
Are Ball and G around? Like, do you see them?
Yeah, they're moving. They're around now. You know, probably early in their career, you know, they stayed in Texas a lot
mm-hmm.
with Suave House. So I didn't see them a lot then when I was coming up back then. Mm-hmm. But, you know, Ball and them living legends, man. Like,
yeah.
We support Ball and them to the fullest.
Yeah.
And I said.
You shouted out, you have a song called Rihanna.
Yeah.
You have, you shouted out Angela Simmons. Do naming people in songs, does that guarantee you a date with them?
No, I don't think so.
It is not like a straight up, like, I said your name on the radio, now you have to meet me.
No, I don't think it's that.
So there's a courting process with Gotti.
It's a what?
A courting. You're actually like attempting to contact them through management, or you just, like, what's the courting process there?
I'm going to reach out directly.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Have you done that with Rihanna and Angela?
Nah, see, the record with Rihanna was more of a concept.
Okay. Sure.
Yeah, the concept of dating her.
Right.
Nah. It was more of a, like, you know, a Rihanna to me is like a bad chick who, like, don't live by the rules, do what she wanna. Like, that's her demeanor to mm-hmm. me. So when I say, like, get me a Rihanna, it's like the same thing to me when I say I want a 5-star chick.
Mm, right.
Like, it's a type, a mental type.
You're saying a Rihanna, not the Rihanna, exactly. Which is different. Yeah.
Yeah.
I feel like I'm like reading Rap Genius right now.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. Really, really like.
Now, the thing with Angela Simpson is just like a direct statement. You know what I mean? I got a crush on you.
And we were told.
It's two different things.
We were told you met her her father earlier
today.
Was that nerve wracking for you? When you met Rev Run, he got the hat on, he's got the suit on.
Little Rev, a double OG, triple OG.
Yeah.
So, you know what I'm saying? Like, from just a rap, for me being a rapper, he a double OG, period. Not even happen to be a father.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Just, you know, just a different respect level anyway. Just being a hip hop artist. Mm-hmm. You know, and then they happen to be his daughter. I got a crush on him. You know? You know, hope that OG don't take it the wrong way. You know what I'm saying?
Well, we appreciate you coming through here. I'm Eric.
I'm Jeff.
I'm Matt.
I'm Guy. Chef.
Yeah. Thanks, guys.